Join me in the book of John once more as we are these four Sundays of Advent speaking to messages in and around that theme, if you will, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into this world. I will read to you John chapter 1, the first nine verses. But this week looking specifically at verses 6 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word. Now, there's many things that will come to us out of this passage. Some of them we covered last week. I'll review that just a bit as we go through. But one of the things that strikes one as you read this text, when you move from verse 5 to verse 6, we are reading in John's writing of prehistory, as I mentioned last week. We're reading of things that occurred before the Genesis account. We're reading of things that occurred before there was anything but God himself and the Word. Jesus Christ was with him there at that time. But then suddenly at verse 6, John the Baptist comes on the scene. Quite a transition. Quite a movement. We're going from prehistory, pre-creation, all the way up some 8,000 to 10,000 years, and here's John the Baptist on the scene. Well, nothing in Scripture is done haphazardly or without reason, and there's many things that one might say of this great transition here, but to me, if you don't mind, I would like to share with you, to me it seems that it's telling us how close eternity is to the temporalness of this earth. And the closeness of relationship of those in the temporal world with the things of eternity. We think of eternity sometimes as this way off distant. I started to say time, but I can't use that word. Existence, and it's far beyond us. It's some otherworldly thing way out there. Well, those are possibly true statements, but yet eternity is as close as our next breath. The things of eternity exist at the same moment. And see, there I use a time word. As we do here. So we should never lose track and lose thought that God is not involved. Francis Schaeffer referred to God as the God who is there. Is there. He's present. And in his presence, he's active. Just my thinkings as I relate to those two verses that are so close together. As we move into verse 6 here, please note that John was called by God. It says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. This, of course, is John the Baptist, not the Apostle John, who is the author. This is John the Baptist. It is God who has called this gentleman, the last of the Old Testament prophets, to come in a particular time and to come with a particular call. Again, John the Baptist's appearance on the scene is not arbitrary. It is not by chance. It is very particular. It is very calculated. And it is very precise. He came with one ambition. And that is the ambition that God has given him in that call, or as he is being sent. And what was that call? Look at verse 7. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. How about that for a job description? One sentence. But all the weight, all the burden in that job description. To be a witness, to testify. Now, what is a witness? Some of you have been a part of our court system. You've had opportunity to be that witness to some event, some factual occurrence of which you had sight of, witness of, experience of, and you were brought in to bear witness of that fact, of that occurrence. A witness is one who furnishes evidence or might be an element or an instrument of proof. John the Baptist was to tell what he knew to be a fact, not some wanderings of his mind. And what was that fact that he was giving testimony of? We see it here also in the verse, and it is, he was to witness concerning that light. Well, we ask, what light? Well, you go back up to verse 4, where that light was introduced. That light was the Word, is the Word. That light is the Word. That is the life of man. Very simple in words, job description. Very simple in words, a call of John the Baptist. But it goes further. The Holy Spirit calls on John to write in this description of John the Baptist's call also the objective. He was not to simply go stand on the street corner and yell with no intention, with no objective in mind. He had purpose. It was not aimless. And what was that purpose? So that through him all men would believe. Quite an outcome. Through John the Baptist's preaching, through his yelling out in the wilderness, as we are told, it was done, it was performed so that all mankind would come to believe. Quite a hefty ambition. Here is a mortal man, human being, just like you and I, but given the objective, given the task, to be the witness of divine things, of things that are otherworldly, of things that are before his time, before creation. Here's John the Baptist in his humanity is to be that witness so that all men, all mankind would believe. Quite a hefty ambition. But I have a question, and this is a debatable point of this phrase that many, even today, are debating. It's found at the end of verse 7. It says that through him all men might believe. Well, I've already given you my interpretation of the through him. But this idea that through him, through John the Baptist. See, there are those who will debate that through him here is actually speaking of Christ. Well, those of you who do grammar much more than I can explain the grammar rules of why this is not Christ. It is John the Baptist. That through John the Baptist, through him, not Christ, all would come to believe. It is John the Baptist. This is not referring to Christ in this context. God called John the Baptist to tell others of the light of Christ so that all mankind would believe. This is an amazing thing to me, and it's kind of ironic. Twice this week, I've had opportunity to discuss this particular point, that God would use us. That God would use frail, faltering, sometimes mindless, sinful human beings so that all men might come to believe. In one conversation I had earlier in the week, we were talking, and I said, that just amazes me that God does use us to be the ones who go out and witness, who go out and testify, so that people would come to believe. Now, that doesn't mean that I have the power to make believers. It doesn't mean that it is my responsibility to make believers. I cannot do that. I should never take that mantle, that ambition on myself. I've heard folks say, one dear lady, I remember a conversation like I had it yesterday. An individual passed away, and it was believed that that this individual was not a believer. This one lady said, if I had taken the opportunity to share Christ with them, they would not have died a sinner. Ouch. This individual took on themselves the role of Savior. Now, please hear me clearly. We are to be the witness. Just as John the Baptist, and we'll get more on that in a second. We are to be the ones who testify. We are being used as instruments in furthering God's will of bringing individuals to a believing knowledge of Him. But we're simply throwing seeds and scattering water. That's it. It is the Holy Spirit that imputes to the individual salvation which redeems the heart. I have no capacity to do that. Please don't take it on. John the Baptist here was told, go be a witness. Go testify. So that they might come to believe. Not to make believers. Please hear that. Well, verses 8 and 9. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Now here's a subject we should have, I pray, very clear in our minds. John was not the light. He was a significant instrument, but he was not the light. He was not the subject of his testimony. John the Baptist was not the subject of his witnessing. It seems that for many churches, many individuals, the people are the subject. Many churches make the congregation the subject of the teaching. Church events are about meeting the needs, the wants of the people. So many ministers stand in the pulpit and they're afraid to preach the purest gospel because someone might be upset and leave. If you need to leave, I'll get a deacon to open the door for you. I know this may come as a shock to some of you, but church ain't about you. Church ain't about me. Pardon the grammar. It is about Jesus Christ. John was not the light. John was not the light. You, I am not the light. My preaching is not about me. My teaching is not about me. Your sharing the gospel is not about you. Now, you may use your story as a venue. You may use your story, as a vehicle to share what Christ has done in your life, but don't make you the subject. The subject is Jesus Christ and what he has done and is doing in your life. Please be clear. And I know you are. I don't point fingers at anyone in this church. That's not what we're about here. But you may hear that as you go about. We are not to be the subjects. We are to be reflections. reflections of the light. John the Baptist came. He was called by God. He preceded, he came before the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was true as we see here, as we know of John the Baptist. He preceded the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry. Well, this illustration, if I can say it that way, is true for us as well. We are being sent out. We are being called out, preceding another coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. And we are to go before that coming, just as John the Baptist did, and be that herald, be that witness, to be that one that testifies to that fact. Is Jesus Christ's second coming a fact? By all means. By all means. And so we are to go out and be that witness of Jesus Christ's coming. John writes of this in the other book, one of the other books he wrote, Revelation. In the 22nd chapter of Revelation, he writes in a couple of different ways. First, from verse 12. He says, "Behold, I am coming soon." Now, this is the angel of the Lord, the angel of Christ. Some would even say Christ himself, speaking to John, telling John to write. And he writes, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." And then in verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say." Now, this is both. This is God himself. This is the Spirit, capital S, and the bride. Now, who is the bride? Thank you. Thank you. We're all saying, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let them take the free gift of the water of life. Come. How many of you pray for the coming of Jesus Christ? I do every day almost. I'm tired of this. I've had enough. I love you, but I've had enough. Come, Lord Jesus, even today. Last week we spoke, the first part of this passage, about the gift of life. That Jesus Christ was the light, and that life is the life. Just as John the Baptist came on the scene to testify to the light so that others would believe, you and I are now called to do the same thing. We are called to be that herald, that witness. I have a question for you I'd like for you to ponder and work on between now and Christmas. This Christmas, what gift will you choose to give others? Will it be that gift that satisfies the temporal, the temporary, the now? The flashing lights, the pretty ribbons, the bows, the gleaming paper, those expensive things that get stored away in a closet after a while. Or will you testify? Will you be a witness? Will you be a witness that testifies to that gift? That gift of light. That gift of light that is the life of men. All of us who are believers have been given a gift that we can acknowledge, but we don't fully understand. The capacity of that gift is eternal. And our minds just won't quite wrap around all of that. But here in this passage and other places in Scripture, you know well, we are encouraged, we are told to go out and be that witness. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. All right? Those are your words. Friend, co-worker, family person, family member, stranger. Follow me as I follow Christ. Christ the subject of my witness, of my testimony. As I said last week, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I love the passage. Do we tell others of this fact? Is this our testimony? I pray it is. And I pray that we would have thousands and thousands and thousands of tongues that could share, that could be the witness, that could testify to the Lord's gift of life. We are to be reflections of the light. Amen.